This is Behind the Mic with Kirkus Reviews, where the subjects are audiobooks and the actors who narrate them. I'm Joe Reed, and I am so happy I am joined by Laura Rossi, who is here to give us her earphone special. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm terrific.
So if you're a first-time listener, what Laura does is she talks about an earphones winner she's listened to, one that she's listening to now, and one that she's about to listen to, the next one on her list. So, Laura, what are the three books we're going to talk about?
Thanks, Joe. I love doing these Earphones Award episodes. They're kind of our signature. You and I have been doing them for a long time. So my three audiobooks are three very different books that I'm so excited about. The audiobook I already listened to is The Land and Its People by David Sedaris, narrated by David Sedaris. The audiobook I am currently listening to is Via Coco by Andrew Sean Greer, and that is read by Eduardo Ballerini. And my third title is Like This But Funnier by Hallie Cantor, narrated by Helen Laser.
So let's go. We're going to begin with The Land and Its People, written and narrated by David Sedaris. Tell us about it.
I am going to dive right in. And one of the things I'm going to put in at the top of our conversation is I have a little bit of a theme, which is not my usual episode vibe, more Michelle Cobb, as you know, another regular contributor. But all three of my audiobooks take us somewhere. So the first title, The Land and Its People by David Sedaris, is its signature David Sedaris, and he takes us through many stories and scenarios in this collection of essays. But the overarching theme that I wanted listeners to take away is you really feel as if you were at a live David Sedaris show when you're listening to this audiobook. Parts of the audiobook were recorded live. And so you're getting a transporting journey where you feel like you're in the audience and just enjoying the humor almost live.
And I was actually at a David Sedaris performance, I think in the fall. So it wasn't a part of this book by now. The book had been done, and a number of essays that he reads for the book, he read for us as well. But I can attest, it is like being at a David Sedaris performance.
I'm glad you agree, Joe. I have not had the pleasure yet of being able to attend a live show, but I have listened to, you know, many of his audiobooks and live recordings. And he is actually one of my go-to audiobook picks when we do our Earphones Award episodes. He is just such a wonderful performer. And of course, he's such a gifted writer. So I love that I can return to him when he's got a new audiobook out and we can put it on one of our episodes. So this collection, really, I feel like I'm agreeing with many of the reviews, including the Kirkus review, that it really is a refreshing listen. He is at his best. You know, both critics and fans love this collection. The pacing is great. The laughing, you're kind of laughing along with the laugh track. And the topics are signature Sedaris, right? So real life stuff delivered with his signature humor, whether it's aging, losing a friend, talking about, I'm chuckling, remembering this chapter, but Duolingo and, you know, trying to learn foreign language and just life. So
just the small indignities of life.
The small indignities. And of course, it takes me back to Holidays on Ice and some of his favorites.
Which I loved. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
As I said, I saw one of his performances and I left that performance feeling the same way I felt about the book, which is he's honest, he's funny, he has such a keen eye, and he is endlessly self-involved. And I have to say, I think I really like him from a seat in the orchestra rather than having him in my life. That self-involvement is too much.
Doses of David Sedaris need to be measured out. I completely agree. In fact, the audio clip that we'll be hearing later gave me a level of cringe and, oh my gosh, you really need to get out of your own way, Mr. Sedaris.
Well, why don't we just get to it now?
Yes. So on this clip, he's narrating about his house guests, his husband Hugh's upcoming hip surgery and the recovery that will happen after, and cooking and sort of how he, David Sedaris, is going to be dealing with Hugh's recovery, how it's going to affect him.
This is The Land and Its People, written and read by David Sedaris.
Olivier and David had arrived a week earlier and were staying with us until the Saturday after Thanksgiving. It was their first trip to New York, and they were overwhelmed by how loud and crowded the city was. My sister Gretchen, who lives in North Carolina, was also staying with us. And though I was happy to see her and our French friends, I just returned from a long tour and had not had any time alone or alone with just Hugh since mid-September. We have a good deal of room in our New York apartment. It's not like anyone was sleeping on a sofa or hanging wet towels off the doorknobs. I just resented having to adjust my schedule. House guests meant less time at my desk, both in the morning and in the evening, when mainly because of Gretchen, we had to eat dinner earlier than usual. I can put up with a lot, but when my work schedule is interrupted, I get antsy. It didn't help that just 4 days after Gretchen was due to leave, Hugh would be checking into the hospital for hip surgery. "And don't think I'm not going to need you," he said over Thanksgiving dinner. A whiz in the kitchen. Hugh makes all our meals. And when I suggested that he could probably still manage, "I'm sure other people have. Can't you cook like from a wheelchair or something?" He said, "No, you're going to do it. 3 times a day and for as long as I need you to." He poured himself a glass of wine. "I could be out of commission for months." "Yes, but you don't know that for a fact," I reminded him. "I'm sure there are people who recover from a hip replacement in a matter of days. You just don't hear about them."
So he is brutally honest, and I really like that about him. And he is very, very funny. But he also, we come to learn almost immediately, actually paid for Yu's brother to come and actually take care of him while he was in recovery from hip surgery.
For me, I thought, ouch. That was the word that I kind of blurted out, that just, that's not what you do. And so, yes, there is a level of tolerance that some can have around the topic of David Sedaris, and then...
Yeah, no. I mean, but I love his honesty about it.
I do, too. It's signature David Sedaris. Yeah. And we can leave it at that, right?
I think that's absolutely right. But I also have to say, again, with that honesty, there's... I want to say he has no shame, but I meant that in a really good way, too.
I'm nodding my head, Joe. I know you're not seeing me right now, but I'm nodding my head because that truly is one of his best gifts and what makes him accessible to all of us.
The essay he wrote about his father and Father's Day was understated, and it just cut to the bone, really. It was so brutally honest. I mean, your heart just broke for him. But I think because it was understated, that it made it land that much harder.
I will add that he has this magnificent way of kind of dressing up, if you will, or cloaking the most, you know, sort of hit you in the heart topics with humor in a way that if we all didn't have the ability to laugh a little bit at some of the most difficult moments in our life, you know, where would we be? It sometimes is the only way to get through and pass over some of the hardest experiences of living and just, you know, being a human.
And I also just want to emphasize that he is such an exceptionally skilled reader of his own work. His timing is so precise that even a throwaway line lands perfectly.
I agree.
And we're moving on to Villa Coco by Andrew Sean Greer, read by Eduardo Ballerini. You're listening to this now.
I am listening to this title now. And so this book, my theme here is this book transports you to Tuscany. And as we talk about it, Joe, I'm going to try my best to use a little bit of my very little bit of Italian. So unlike Eduardo, who is bilingual in English and Italian, I'm going to not do a great job with some of my pronunciations, but I know you'll smile and indulge me. So the other bit about this title is I was just in Europe on a little trip with my daughter, and we were in Provence, so we weren't in Italy, but I knew that I wanted to listen to this book on part of our travels home, and it's just been fun to kind of stay in Europe. So let's start with, of course, Eduardo Ballerini, a master. He is really in a class by himself. Golden voice, Audis, earphones. I pause every time I see a new work with his name on it. Inevitably, it's an Earphones Award title. And that, and the topic, and the author, of course, Andrew Sean Greer. This was just like, I can't listen to it fast enough. And so I'm actually trying to listen to it slowly because I'm enjoying it.
I started listening to it because, you know, I listen into all the books that you or everyone talks about. I could not stop. I went through the book. I loved this book.
I love it so much.
I feel like I don't have the words to express how brilliant I think Eduardo is reading this really lovely book by Andrew Sean Greer. He is exceptional, exceptional. He makes this effortless. It's an incredibly demanding performance. He moves among generations, accents, and personalities with such ease that every character feels fully realized. And I was just picturing it in my mind. I knew I had a photo in my mind about what each character looked like. And it was really listening and just watching the movie on spool.
I agree, Joe. Eduardo truly transports you to the place. He brings you in. You are smelling the smells, seeing the paint, you know, on the little train station. When you're in Villa Coco, you're really there.
I agree.
You see and feel and smell the food. You get a sense of the characters standing before you. And the differentiation for the narration for each character, plus the accents, and then his delivery, right? I can't ever say this is Eduardo's best narration, because I think every time I listen to him, that ends up being my takeaway. But this pairing for this particular book, it's really, I think it's a next level performance for him. And that is not something I say lightly.
I absolutely agree with that, Laura. I think Andrew Sean Greer writes with such warmth and such wit, and Eduardo seems so attuned to the rhythm of the prose. It never felt for a moment like he was performing at the listener. He simply drew me in to this wonderful, eccentric Tuscan world.
Yes, and the journey we take throughout the book, I have not finished it yet, but you know, I loved the book Less, that Andrew Sean Greer's, you know, Pulitzer Prize winner, et cetera, right, et cetera. And so I love him as an author. So Eduardo took Andrew's beautiful writing and expanded it in a way that made this book come alive.
I agree. It was magic. It really was magic for me. I don't re-listen to audiobooks very rarely. There are one or two, but boy, this could be three. This really could be three. It gave me such pleasure.
I agree with you, Joe. I might need a second listen.
Oh.
I don't want it to end. And I also felt a connection with the characters throughout. I'm almost finished, so I don't want to, you know, we never give spoilers here anyway, but I don't want to leave these characters.
I know. I didn't either. Have we given a synopsis of this? Because we've been waxing so poetic over it. I'm not sure. I think we might have neglected that.
We did not. And so I'm happy to do that. I also want to say the rare occurrence that's happening right now, listeners, is usually the first title in my trio of Earphones Awards is the book that we speak about the longest. And I predicted when Joe and I got to this title that it may be kind of the heart of this episode because this listen is so exceptional. Yeah. So what's the best way to say this? I guess we have a young American who is telling his story. He has been a little bit of an aimless guy trying to figure out life and opportunities after college, and through a not so terrific, I think, college counselor and some very heavy encouragement from his parents, decides to pursue a job and go to Tuscany to become an archivist, to work for a baronessa who is wanting, you know, her personal effects archived. And he feels that this is his moment to grow up and make things matter in his life and start his own journey.
By gum, he's right.
Yes. And we meet all sorts of characters. We hear intimacies around, you know, his, you know, sort of lightly touches on coming to terms with his sexuality and, you know, maybe living a little bit of a quieter life and then, you know, having a whole buffet of things as he's sort of gotten to know himself, getting older and in college. And now he is just resolving to be serious, to pursue this chance for order and success. And by golly, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I think because beneath all the humor and the eccentricity, I think this really is a coming of age story about discovering who you are. And I think Ballerini helps us hear that emotional growth without ever letting the novel become sentimental.
I agree.
I mean, both Greer and Ballerini. I mean, you know, all credit to Greer, too.
Yes.
What a partnership. Well, I think we should hear a little. What clip do you have?
This is the very beginning of Via Coco, our main character, who we will learn is referred to in a large part of the audiobook and novel as Jovedi, arrives at the weathered train station to begin his assistant position to Baronessa.
This is Villa Coco by Andrew Sean Greer, and it's read by Eduardo Ballerini.
The little Tuscan train station, brown shutters against yellow paint, seems so fanciful you might unwrap it and find it was chocolate. The departures and arrivals sign had half its bulbs burnt out, so all our young man could discern was a cuneiform description of the current train strike. And while he looked for, and could not find, a living person, he did find a statue labeled San Drogo. The saint wore a floppy hat and seemed overburdened with a crozier, a scythe, and a sleeping lamb, as if he were carrying the shopping for another, more important saint. Our young man himself was overburdened with books, luggage, gin, fish oil, and doubt. He had followed the telegram's nonsensical instructions all the way from the eastern seaboard to Florence, whose domes and spires he glimpsed only briefly before boarding a tin can train into the Tuscan hills, and now stood in the hot wind of a late September day. For a long time it was only himself, San Drogo, and an olive tree whose roots were breaking through its planter. Though in his later travels on sea and shore he would become accustomed to the sensation of foreign air, this first arrival in Italy would be minted forever in his memory.
You know, I feel as though the excerpt doesn't do justice to Ballerini's narration, although you do begin to get one of the great pleasures of this audiobook is how vividly both the author and the narrator evoke place.
That first time, you know, you're sort of setting foot in Europe and breathing in the air, this hot summer air, I thought, that's it. That's scratching the surface of where Eduardo takes us.
Well, let's move on and tell me what you're going to listen to next.
So the final title in our conversation today is Like This But Funnier, a novel by Hallie Cantor, read by Helen Laser. And Helen is an audiobook narrator, voiceover artist, actor. People may recognize her name and voice from her narration of Yellowface. And that was one of my favorite kind of new narrator discoveries when that book came out. And I also know Helen, and she's lovely.
She is lovely. And she also narrated Lost about Amelia Earhart.
And she just brings a freshness and a crisp voice to this narration. I only listened to the sound clip. I picked it exclusively because Helen's name came up as the narrator. And this is the third part of my journeying. For this theme, we are going into the inner world and the neurotic mind of the main character, a screenwriter named Caroline, who lives in Los Angeles. And I just thought, that's all I need. That and Helen and the sound clip. And it just feels like it's going to be a fun, light listen.
Do you have a sense of what the plot of the book is?
Screenwriter Caroline is kind of hitting a wall in her career. And she decides to basically lift a patient story from her psychotherapist husband and tries to use it to further her career. And so we are literally in her head with this inner voice of this sort of neurotic, self-critical person who is trying her best to elevate her life. And it's funny. It's showing us a flawed woman. You know, I read a couple of the reviews and I thought, based on my past listening of Helen's narration, I think she's going to breathe life into this character in a way that's going to, you know, make me laugh, make me sort of clutch my pearls a little bit, and just generally kind of almost as a palate cleanser. I wasn't sure what I could pick after Via Coco. And so this felt like, you know what, let's just go somewhere totally different, Laura. Let's go in the head of a neurotic gal. Let's go to LA.
And it's Hallie Cantor's debut novel. So all props to her, a debut novel read by a seasoned narrator, which I like that combination.
Yes. And it's a little meta because the author of the book is a TV writer and also a novelist, and she lives in Los Angeles. So it's kind of a cool full circle.
It feels like the kind of book that could really benefit from a nuanced audiobook performance. And boy, can Helen deliver those. I'm a great fan of hers as well. So let's hear a clip.
This sound clip, Helen brings you right in to her ability to embody this character. And I'm going to just say she is talking to a producer type and talking about her career. Let's have a listen.
Okay, here we go. Like This But Funnier, a novel by Hallie Cantor, read by Helen Lazer.
Caroline nodded intently, visualizing the contents of her refrigerator. She needed to go grocery shopping. Scrambled eggs for lunch couldn't possibly be healthy this many days in a row.
So we have a pretty full slate right now, but we're definitely open to ideas. So if you ever read a book or a magazine article and think, like, this could be a show, absolutely just shoot me an email. I'll put my email in the chat box.
Great, Caroline said. I do definitely lean more toward the comedy side.
Of course, totally. And as I said, we're not limited by genre. Actually, there are a few things coming up that could be interesting to you. There's this one book we are dying to adapt that is hilarious. I can send it to you if you want, as a jumping-off point for ideas. It's called The Bartender's Guide to Living, Laughing, and Dying Alone.
Oh, that sounds so funny, Caroline said, praying this meeting would end before she herself died of a fatal politeness overdose.
And we'll totally keep you in mind for comedy staffing in the future.
That would be incredible. Let's keep in touch, for sure. She would be stunned beyond belief if she ever spoke to this man again.
Well, it was so nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Enjoy your weekend, he said.
It was Wednesday.
Helen Lazer does snark as well as anybody in this business. And that's not all she does, though. She can really give great emotional depth to a character. But boy, can she give you snark.
She can, across kind of all types of genres. I do like funny. And so, again, Helen's delivery is, like the other narrators we talked about, for her skill set, she's precise and she nails it.
Yeah, she's a great, great narrator. So until next time, Laura, it's always a pleasure.
The pleasure's all mine, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Behind the Mic with Kirkus Reviews. And while you're at it, you need to follow Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews. Fully Booked is the podcast for book lovers. Every Tuesday, host Megan LaBrise brings you author interviews, industry insights, and recommendations from the bestseller list. Find your next great book on Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews. And then stop by kirkusreviews.com to check out reviews for both print and audiobooks. Behind the Mic is produced by Jessica Lockhart. Michelle Cobb, Stephen Cummings, Leslie Fine, Alan Minskoff, Alex Ritchie, Laura Rossi, Laura Simeon, and Kendra Winchester are our contributors. Jennifer Dow is our editor with assistance from Alicia Langerman. And Tom Beer is the executive producer. The music is William Ross Chernoff's Nomads, Four Way. And I'm your host, Joe Reed. Good listening.